I forgot to invite you to a confession earlier on, but I thought I'd leave it. I'll do it now. Anyone here that has spoken in tongues when a taxi stops dead in front of you? Put your hand up. Well done. Your sins are forgiven. An important day is the day or the feast of Pentecost in the life of the Christian church. As you know, the liturgical calendar tells us exactly the movements and the rhythms of the Christian faith. You will see that the pulpit drop this morning has changed in color, first of all, and secondly, there is a symbol, as with the red banner that is up, that is speaking to us of the symbols associated with the Spirit: fire, wind, air, the dove that speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So those symbols are throughout the church as an indication for us that there is a new rhythm that is being announced in relation to the spirituality of the Christian church. Not only are there symbols that remind us of the importance of this, but also as we consider what we are brought to this morning, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The story of Acts, which Rocky read to us, is our story, it's our history. It's your story and mine, it's your history and mine. All of us coming together, whether it is through the profession of our faith or by baptism. But today, all of us alike celebrate the fulfillment of Christ's promise. Let us look at that particular reading for a moment. When the day of Pentecost came, is how that reading is introduced. Pentecost, of course, is the Greek word which means the number 50. It falls on the 50th day after the celebration of Easter. And so the coming, the outpouring of the Spirit was not because God, it's not because God's response is to the prayers of 120 disciples and the followers, but the coming of the Spirit was set by God. It was determined by God, because you and I recognize, at least to this truth, that God is sovereign. We serve a sovereign God. And so I wonder if you and I can just for a moment consider the importance of hearing the word the Spirit is poured out. And so I want for you to consider as a theme, possibly, what is in a name? What's in a name? What's in a name? I listened to the name Lindiwe. Lindiwe, what does your name mean? What's the meaning of your name, Lindiwe? Sorry? I didn't hear. Waiting. I shared with the earlier service the importance of a name. I studied with vernacular speaking colleagues, and they painstakingly asked us to please pronounce their name the way it ought to, as best we can. Because once a friend or a colleague, a fellow student, pronounced, I think it was a closer name, but the meaning in the way it was pronounced was not a blessing to the people, but instead it meant a witch. And you see, that it's important for us to pronounce our names properly. Then I worked in Soweto. As you know, I worked for a couple of years very beautifully within the community. And then I got to a baptism of over 20 children standing up front. And then there's my 2IC. Like I said to them, Richard is my 2IC. I had Baba Gotso on my right, on my left. And he would hold up the name card. And the first baby I was to baptize was the following: Disappointment Shabalala. And I was then conflicted in that very moment. And my conflict was, because of my context from where I come at university, where I was reminded by the colleagues that a name speaks of the place from which you come. And so I took the parents into the vestry and I said to them, help me to understand why baby Shabalala is disappointment. And they shared their pain. Mom was sent to university to go and study. She didn't complete even her first year, and she came home with disappointment. What's in a name? To a great extent, we have lost the interest the ancients had in the meanings of names. I have been baptized by the Abba Boba Maniano at the little village that I worked in Grahamstown, now Makandla, called Gini. And in Gini, the women of the Methodist church called me Gomotso. And Gomotso means comforter of the people. What a beautiful prophecy. And so it is important that you consider the importance of a name. The Israelites of old considered that a name was not simply a convenient label for distinguishing someone. This is Daphne, so that you know that is Yvonne, and that is Isabel, and this is Russell. Not just to distinguish a person one from the other, but it was a revelation of a person's character. Daphne, what does your name mean? John, what does your name be? Sure. Calista, do you know the meaning of your name? Pam, what does your name mean?
Music.
I'm not going to ask you, Freddie, relax. You just had to see the relief. Bronwyn, what does Kai's name mean? Kai was born fighting for his life, premature by 4 months. You cannot possibly mispronounce Kai's name. It's not going to mean the same. When you look at the Trinity, and Trinity Sunday we're going to celebrate next week, the three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you hear the words Father and Son, you already have some sense of the person's character and how it fits together. Moreover, the incarnate Son's name, Jesus Christ, has meaning for us because Jesus means Savior. Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah. And when one turns to the Spirit also has meaning. The English word Spirit comes from the Latin word, which is Spiritus, which means to breathe or breathing. Spiritus was the Latin word that was used for translating the Hebrew word ruach. And ruach has two basic meanings, wind and air. But the significance of sharing with you the power that is in the meaning of a name is because both wind and air has as its foundation the emphasis on the power that is present in wind and in air. So Ruach's root meaning is a stream of air, not a static, but a dynamic reality. Furthermore, for the ancient East, breath was a mysterious and awesome thing to them because it was also the sign of life. A doctor who was diagnosed with lung cancer wrote a book which was published after his death. And in this book, which is entitled When Breath Becomes Air, he talks about the significance when you exhale at your time of death, your last breath, it then becomes air. It is then in part of the universe, which then allows for you and I to say, I can sense the presence of the deceased in this particular place. Why? Because the breath has become air. And so the Spirit's name indeed is revealing. The Spirit is revealed as that powerful, mysterious way in which God acts and in which God is present to each one of us. And so one of the things we are confronted with as the people of God is that the Pentecostal churches say that the Spirit is only given to those who ask for it. Not true. Theology of the Holy Spirit tells us that the Spirit is not something you ask for. It's not something that you can ask for. It is not something that God gives you when you meet a certain standard. But in understanding, according to our understanding of the theology of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, is a gift by the sovereign God. And it is an essential component of our salvation. And so, friends, may today you have an understanding of the importance of the Ruach, the wind and the air that we have heard of in Acts chapter 2. Let's look at what the word says to us. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and this was the pattern of the early church, a habit for them to come together, to worship together, to seek the face of the Lord together. Not only that, but they also learned to pray and to praise God together. And so what we do every time that church meets with the favor of the Creator God, because that is what we are created for. Suddenly, says verse 2 of Acts chapter 2, a sound filled the whole house where they were sitting. An unexpected, instantaneous, miraculous sound came from heaven. From God, its source is God, and its origin is God. And so you ask the question, how did the early church know that the Spirit came? There were two signs of the Spirit's coming. First of all, there was the audible sound, as Acts chapter 2 verse 2 tells us. There was no physical wind, there was no motion in the air. It wasn't something that you could feel, it was a sound. It was like a noise, and the commentator says it was like a hurricane type of noise. You cannot ignore the fact that that outpouring of the Spirit has taken place. When breath becomes air, no one person here is unaffected by the other. The second sign that it came was also that there was the speaking of tongues. I told them 7:30 that we all speak in tongues. You all admitted to it. Your confession is received with love, and you are released in grace. Go and sin no more. So when that taxi stops in front of you, bless them with a smile in Jesus' name. Your blood pressure will remain low. What a beautiful gift it is to be able to speak in tongues. It is quite a scary thing if you've never experienced it. Just as scary as it was for me, the first time I was invited to participate in exorcism. It's not something that you can explain to somebody when a demon possesses one of your own. And now together as like-minded people, we must come together in the name of Christ and in agreement to exorcise this demon, because a soul that belongs to God is worth the fight. So imagine somebody coming alongside you and they start praying in tongues and you can't interpret it. But what a beautiful thing. Every time that somebody does speak in tongues, there's an interpretation by someone else, so that no one leaves with unanswered questions. And the scripture that is encouraging to me from this particular reading says that all of those different cultures that Rocky read about, and from the different places that they come, that for every tongue that was spoken in their language, there was an understanding and interpretation. That the word of God will not return void or empty, but an understanding is clear of God's word. And so my prayer for you today as we continue into the feast of Pentecost. What is in a name? If Ruach has poured out his spirit in all of you, just consider the powerful gift that is upon each one of us. May you and I know the powerful presence of the Spirit. May we be immersed and saturated with the Spirit, that everything we say and everything we do will be from that place, like Paul, where we say, it is no longer my spirit that speaks, but it is the Spirit of the risen Christ that is within me. And may we walk in that particular gifting of the Spirit's power. I pray this in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.